There's a movie entitled The Way. Some of our older youth have been watching that. We had it on a retreat one time. The character is played by a guy named Martin Sheen, and he's on a journey. He says, and I quote, "All of our journeys are personal. Some are very deeply personal. Some may be even mysterious. We're all looking for that transcendence. Often we look to each other, and we even identify with each other on the journey. You begin the journey within you, opening up, as he says, those dungeon jail cells of your heart, releasing all the things that have kept you from being yourself, discovering who you really are. So you let go of your resentments, your anger, your jealousies, your hatreds, and all those dark parts, and you become free. You become yourself. You become one in community. On life's journey, everyone loses their way. Some of us start over and over again. If you go back into the Bible, people have always been on journey and pilgrimage. Think about Abraham. He abandoned his heritage and he followed God into the wilderness and to Cana. What about Joseph when he was sold into slavery? Where was he taken? From his distant homeland to live in Egypt. Moses was called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, over the sea and into a land, and for 40 years they wandered and wandered, wondering often why they were ever there. The prophet Elijah roamed Israel like a nomad, preaching justice and truth. The people of Israel, three times a year, were called to journey to Jerusalem. John the Baptist is out wandering in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. And then Jesus was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. It seems God has called us to be pilgrims, to be on journey. And as we begin the Lenten season, we must first start with Jesus in the wilderness. The lectionary, the planned readings of Scripture always begin with that reading on this Sunday, with Jesus in the wilderness. His journey following his baptism was to go into the desert, face not only temptation, but the journey which laid ahead for him. We're going to find out about Jesus' journey, as you already know. But maybe the question we need to ask ourselves is, how will we face the journey this Lenten season for us? First, we got to go back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were just beginning their journey in the Garden of Eden, and everything was good. They had free reign of everything, but what? One tree. Their journey would thus be challenged by the temptation of that tree. You know the story. The devil, I thought about bringing a snake with me, but I've heard other people think that's not a good idea these days. So the devil told them to eat of the tree and they would be like who? Like God. Could any goal for any of us on our journey be any loftier than being like God? There is no hint or shame in that. Fred Craddock, which you hear us quoting quite often, says, "The voice said, 'Would you like to be like God?' He asked, 'What is wrong with that?' Isn't that what we are about? Real temptation is when you do not know right from wrong. It's not a matter of choosing the right and resisting the wrong. It's a matter of asking what God's will is for me. There is the real test." Adam and Eve thought by eating of the fruit they would be like God, but God had told them not to eat of that They chose to eat of the tree, and they found themselves ashamed, and as the scripture says, they stood naked in the presence of each other and God. Their journey, Adam's and Eve, would now be about how they, as well as we, would face temptation and sin, and that continues with us on March the 9th, 2014. Following his baptism, a very pinnacle, high moment in the life of Jesus, he was led by the Spirit to go into the desert 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate nor drank. I think it's worth noting for us that when the tempter, the devil, arrives, it is not at the same time that Jesus gets to the wilderness. It is after those 40 days. After Jesus has been fasting all this time, the opportunity was better after, not before or during. Thus, what was that first temptation? To turn the stones into bread. If you've ever fasted, you know, there are times that you get to that point, you can kind of overcome it eventually, but other times, the temptation to eat is very strong. Was Jesus hungry? Certainly he was. Was the Son of God about to starve to death? Probably not. But his journey was just beginning, and he probably needed food and sustenance. From food, the tempter instructs Jesus to just jump from the very pinnacle of the temple. For surely it is written that God would send his angels to keep him from falling, and he would not fall to the ground, and not a hair on his head would be hurt. Would this not be now a statement of his power and the presence of God to those he was around? First take care of his own needs, now showing to others. And then the third and final word. Jesus, if you look over all the kingdoms, and if you would now bow down to me, the devil, and worship me, you would have all that you could see. And you'll remember at this point, Jesus had not preached a sermon. He had not healed anyone. He had not even taught a lesson. No one really knew about him a whole lot. The ministry that we have recorded in the Gospels had not begun. And Jesus was faced with what he was going to do with his life, just like us. But Jesus resists the temptations and the demands that the devil be gone from him, and the tempter leaves. Jesus' response to every test was to refuse to be like God or to be God. And never did he use the power of the Spirit to claim exemption or to avoid painful decisions or difficulties in this path of service. In other words, Jesus did not use God to claim something for himself. He used the Word of God. He used the power that was within him to resist those temptations and to begin to understand who he would be as he began his journey in ministry. With Lent, we talk a lot about sin. We use the ashes to mark our foreheads that we are of sinful nature. I ask you, what day, what hour, maybe what minute are we not faced with temptation on our journey? How often does it occur to you that temptation is not a measure of our weakness, but temptation is a measure of our strength? The stronger you are, the more capable you are, the more opportunity you have, the more power and influence you have, the greater the temptation. Check it out. It's usually those who are obedient and not the disobedient that are struggling. They're not the ones being opposed and tested often. For Jesus, the temptations did not end in the desert. Even as he faced the cross, one of his friends and close companions tried to get him to avoid the cross. With each of us, the journey is full of testing and more testing and more testing. We have several books in the library of a great writer, Henry Nouwen. He wrote 30 books, maybe 40. He wrote about the temptations, reminding us that our lives, our spiritual life, life of the Spirit of Christ, is where we need, but we know that we sin and temptation exist. And he says, as Jesus was sent by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted, so are we. Now in writes, it may be that the true quality of the spiritual life can only be recognized in the face of temptation. What did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. He was obedient to his Father. What do we do in times of temptation? Now in plays off on the three temptations of the stones, the pinnacle jumping, and also bowing down to the kingdoms. But he changes them a little bit. And he says all of us confront these three temptations all the time. The temptation to be relevant, the temptation to be spectacular, and the temptation to be powerful. First, the temptation to be relevant. Again, Jesus was to turn the stones into bread, to feast, to take care of himself, to give him strength. Now and believes the center of our identity is our relevance. In a variety of ways, we are made to believe that we are what we produce. Thus, for many of us, it's a preoccupation to show visible and tangible results in our lives because we are conditioned to be relevant and to produce. We even make ourselves believe that we can actually be productive. But in Deuteronomy, we hear the words that Moses says to his people, Yahweh, God, made you feel hungry and fed you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to make you understand that people do not live on bread alone, but on everything that comes from the mouth of God. There's nothing wrong with being successful and productive. It is how we go about doing it and who we are doing it for. Is it for our praise or our reverence, or is it for God? Then now he talks about the temptation to be spectacular. He says that is not lessened even in our days. We act as if visibility and notoriety were the main criteria of the value of what we are doing. We all hunger for human acceptance and the need to be fulfilled. Again, nothing wrong with that. It is just how far it goes and how does it play out in our lives. And finally, the temptation of power. There is almost nothing more difficult than our desire to be powerful. It seems nearly impossible for us to believe that any good can come from being powerless. Power? However, the mystery of our calling and ministry is that we are called to serve not with our power, but with our powerlessness. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about what God does in and through us and how we can be humble before Him and forgiven. Nouwen says the temptations of being relevant, spectacular, and powerful are real temptations and stay with us all of our lives. But when we can recognize these temptations and their attempts to seduce us, to give us illusions of our own false self, we can turn that around and find our grace and our power in God. We do not belong in this world, we belong to God's. We will always be tempted in one way or another to to reclaim the old self, to return to Egypt, if you will, to resist the way of the cross. But we become true followers of Christ each time we take on the words of our lips and say to the tempter, "Be off, Satan. You must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone." Jesus began his journey talking to the devil, facing temptations, but through the power of God, he resisted and told Satan to be gone. The journey, the way, the pilgrimage, it leads to the wilderness of our lives, but we're nourished by God. Our story of salvation becomes a story of reconnection with the one in whom we live and move and have our being. The one who's always been there, even when we ate the tree that he told us not to eat from. Ash Wednesday, the church has begun the 40 days of Lent. Our individual and corporate journey to the cross and resurrection. Richard Lasher, who's professor of homiletics preaching at Duke Divinity School, writes, "We need Lent and its sense of holiness. Every year we enter Lent as on a journey that begins with Jesus' own wilderness experience. Jesus endured the 40 days of testing in which Satan offered him the personal alternatives to faithful Christian identity. If he would only obey him, he could have all this power. Christ only appealed against the needs of the body, the desire to avoid suffering, and the lure of political power was the Word of God. Where we fail and continue to fail, he succeeded. Where we try to have it both ways, Jesus chose a single path. Now baptized in his name, you and I walk in his shadow, fighting the battles. But the presence of Christ is with us, or we could not continue." Some people decide they're going to give up something for Lent. Some people decide they may give up chocolate or sweets or doing this particular job or chore or other things. And often it may sound like to us trivial. But this is the way Jesus began his pilgrimage, his journey. He did not take those things that were tempted to take. The bread, the power. Before he could be the true Messiah, Jesus had to discover the sort of Messiah he would not be. And he would not be the political figure that many wanted to be. Which brings us to where we are. Each of us must decide how we want to journey. With Christ and his church, we follow the one who has already completed the course. Our hope is that as we are tempted, we may be found faithful in this Lenten journey and always. For the good news of the gospel is that Christ is with us. Thanks be God. And may he be with you as you journey through the way.